We all know of the arrow and the javelin. Ancient projectiles so prolific as to even be practiced as a sport in the modern day. But what if there was another, also with its roots in prehistory, and equally widespread, yet so overlooked today? That, my friends, is the big rock. Large stones have been a formidable projectile since the early Paleolithic. Being heavy, hard, and dense, and often readily available, they were commonly used for attack and defence for many thousands of years. They could be launched by hand or sling, and later, staff slings and catapults. Today, I'll share some of the ways the Romans used it, as well as test a helmet against the considerable forces of this ancient missile. Vegetius states in De Re Militari, "Recruits are to be taught the art of throwing stones both with the hand and sling." And, formerly, all soldiers were trained to the practice of throwing stones of a pound weight with the hand, as this was thought a readier method since it did not require a sling. Here is a stone of approximately this weight, 1 libra or 1 Roman pound. Even though I don't practice throwing bare hand, it feels an optimum weight to throw. More than twice the weight of a baseball or cricket ball, there is less excess energy in the arm after the throw, making it surprisingly comfortable. Barehand throwers require little room compared to slingers, and that's their main advantage on the battlefield. For more power, a sling can be used. The 1 libra stone works very well with short, medium and long slings, but a lighter stone will provide a lot more range. Sling bullets very rarely weighed more than about 4 ounces or 115 grams, and yet stones of about 1 Greek mina or 435 grams are said to have been used in battle. This is because large stones have a lot of kinetic energy and momentum and were known to the ancients as an anti-armour projectile. Diodorus Siculus wrote, "But when Hamilcar saw that his men were being overpowered and that the Greeks in constantly increasing numbers were making their way into the camp, he brought up his slingers, who came from the Balearic Islands and numbered at least 1,000. By hurling a shower of great stones, they wounded many and even killed not a few of those who were attacking. And they shattered the defensive armour of most of them. For these men, who are accustomed to sling stones weighing a mina, contribute a great deal toward victory in battle, since from childhood they practice constantly with the sling. In this way they drove the Greeks from the camp and defeated them." Another feature is that this power is greatly accentuated when used from an elevated position, such as a fortification. In this context, stones can be stockpiled, making for a cheap and highly potent defence. Tactically, large stones can be used in a variety of ways. They can be thrown in a high arc to rain down on the enemy. They can be launched directly, or they can be cast as to bounce along the ground or at an angle to bounce up under shields. This was also used to great effect by stone-throwing ballistae, whose round projectiles would bounce and travel great distances, potentially taking out many foes with a single shot. The smallest of the Vitruvius ballistas was the 2 libra. This means that the largest stone it could shoot was 2 Roman pounds, about 660 grams in weight. However, smaller and lighter projectiles could also be used, resulting in greater velocity. Thus, a round 1 libra stone can effectively be used by slingers and hand throwers, as well as the lesser artillery. This potentially shared ammunition and versatility provides a great deal of adaptability and simplified logistics. However, because such stones are significantly larger than arrows or sling bullets, it makes them a lot easier to dodge. Where this was an issue, the Romans blackened them. This made even giant ballista stones much harder to see when hurtling towards you. Now, for the helmet test. For this, I've got a Roman Gallic H-type helmet. It's a mass-market replica of 18-gauge construction, but it should help illustrate the impact of heavy stones in general. The first sling I'll use is a 13-inch Balearic style. Any shorter and bare hand is preferable. There are numerous depictions of very short slings being used historically, and it increases throwing power while still being as compact as possible. Next, I'll use a 28-inch Balearic style. This is a medium-length sling, and is capable of generating significantly higher velocities, especially with lighter projectiles. Let's begin. As you can see, it wasn't a completely square on hit, partially glancing, but there was deformation from the impact, and it did transfer through the padding. Well, the inside of it is also dented, as you can see there. And that did actually transfer through the padding to the melon, which is also damaged here. It was split open and has become a bit soft as a result. ...490-gram stone hit directly on the brow ridge here. But what's really interesting about that is you can see the deformation is not extreme. What this did was distribute the force over the brow ridge, and thus you can see the dent that... It did actually dent the helmet underneath, but as you can see that is distributed over a line. Which means, from the inside, you can see that brow ridge has been forced into the helmet, but has dramatically reduced the deformation that would otherwise have occurred. Evidently my aim was too good, and I hit him right in the face, which is not a good test for the helmet. Hit him right in the chin. The watermelon subsequently obliterated on the bottom. It just completely exploded. Carved that watermelon inside out. So here's the helmet after that hit. Just a glancing blow here over the rivet. Did cause deformation a little bit, and there isn't any visible damage on the watermelon beneath. So in this instance, if you weren't wearing a helmet, that could well, you know, have made you pop your clogs. But with a helmet on, it protects you. And I think these glancing blows would actually have been more common than direct hits. And this is where a helmet, as a secondary defense, will save your life. Coming up into the target this time, you can see the brow of the helmet is detached. The arming cap has been excluded from the helmet, and the melon, unfortunately, has now met its end. This was a new melon. And that is unscathed, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Look at that. So that just missed the bar and just was a glancing blow on top. But it was fairly well placed right on the almost the crown there. And inside, that is quite a significant dent there.
Exciting shot.
Oh, wow. Now, that helmet hasn't really done much for the user here, or rather, should I say, for the melon. Because despite it actually being a square on hit on the helmet, right here on the above the eyes, it was a catastrophic cave-in and completely destroyed the watermelon. There we have it.
What happens? Replica of the Roman helmet, very popular with reenactors, so I've heard,
comes up against large stones from a sling. Now imagine, with a lot of ancient helmets of not necessarily the best quality, the results wouldn't be too outrageously different from what we have observed here today.
So there we have it. That's what I can do with this and some string. Now I would like to say that what I can do pales in comparison to modern day pitchers and javelin throwers. A modern day javelin thrower can throw an 800 gram javelin at about 31 meters a second, generating 392 joules of kinetic energy and 25 kilogram meters a second of momentum, which is a lot greater than I can do with even a sling. So one can only imagine what they would be able to do with a sling. And I think with that, that would be the level approached in ancient times, where people are practicing with this all the time, and the select few that actually get hired as mercenaries are the very top of their entire population. One thing I would like to say about the helmet test, which was mostly just a bit of fun really, is that the video doesn't show the shockwave that transfers through a medium when you have a high velocity impact. The only real way of showing that is by having G-force stickers to show the peak G's during the impact. So something like a glancing blow might actually take you out of the battle, whereas on you see it from the outside, it looks like really the person underneath would be completely unscathed. Anyway, that's it for today, so let me know what you think about it. I try to read every single comment, and if you enjoyed it, stick around because there's lots more to come.
And for those who say don't waste food, well, this one's actually a nice tasting one. The last one was rubbish. Totally worth it. It's a good shot too.